Welcome to the Chautauqua call for Wednesday, the 24th, 2008. The clouds open, the moon appears, the still lake, reflects it perfectly. So welcome to tonight's call, and we're going to be moving into, we've just completed equinox. We're coming into the last week of the harvest moon, moving into the new moon that will initiate the fall on a lunar cycle, and obviously on a solar cycle. We've just passed equinox, and we've already begun the fall. So tonight we're going to talk about the three moons of fall. The three moons of fall are the Duck's Fly Moon, the Freeze-Up Moon, and the Long Snows Moon. And we're going to be working with these energies over the coming months into the new year. I think it's a week long snow that we're going to do it. I'm not sure. I think it's the 21st. So we'll have 2 months in long snows, and I think is the way it lines up this year. So one way or the other, the idea is we're coming to the end of the summer for sure, and even to some extent the end of the harvest. The basic imagery is that the Duck's Fly Moon is when we pack up and move. So we're finishing up the harvest and determining what we're going to take and what we're going to leave behind. And then as we move into Freeze Up Moon, which is October, November, we begin to see the end of our long journey. We can see the end in sight, and we begin looking, where are we going to come to a stop? Where are we going to come to a pause? At the end of the activity of harvest, we want to come to a stop and come to a pause. And then we move into Long Snows Moon, where we want to build a winter nest. Because after Long Snows, we move into Earth Renewal Moon, and Rest and Cleansing Moon, where we want to have some deep quiet, some private time to explore our passions and our destiny without significant interruption. If we don't take a pause before we get there, we'll find that we're very burnt out, and the pause may not be a healthy one. So one of the things that we're going to be talking about and working with practically, psychologically, energetically in the coming months, this is fall is a pretty interesting time because the energies are very different and kind of erratic. The earth seasons, the plants and animals and the sun in the fall are all slowing down and moving towards hibernation and dormancy. And for us, we tend to be fighting that. And then Christmas comes and we go into this hyperactivity in the middle of the winter. And it's hard on everyone, and there's a reason why everyone has a tough time with the holidays for the most part. So energetically, there's this, in consensual reality, there's this huge roller coaster that goes on. And energetically, it should be a pretty simple process of slowing from equinox into solstice. But we rarely allow ourselves that sort of luxury. So what we're going to be doing is trying to blend those energies together so that we can both live up to our consensual obligations and honor the energetic things going on around us. And so we want to develop both a sensitivity to the energy of the earth and the season, the moons and the sun, but also the energy of the humans going on around us. So let's talk a little bit about this stuff. Among other things, what we're looking forward to is the three gatherings, the three shamanic gatherings of the fall. So on, October 10th, October 11th, we'll have Duck's Fly Gathering. And that's going to be about despacho. So we're going to be, among other things, the whole theme of the fall is going to be about despacho. So despacho is this gratitude ceremony where we weave in grains and candies and all kinds of symbols of abundance, and we're giving back to Pachamama, Mother Earth, that which she has given us. So we're creating this beautiful offering out of bay leaves and corn and beans and rice. So we're weaving everyday ingredients into a spiritual stew into which we place our prayers. So I'll be teaching you about how to do that. So we'll be talking about despacho all fall long, and then at the three-day gathering for solstice, we'll actually have everyone build a despacho kit, and you'll practice full despacho. At Duck's Fly Moon, what we're going to work on is the mini despacho kit I created, just as in this last full moon gathering, we did a three-stone mesa. A full mesa is a 12-stone mesa, and takes a year at least, if you do it right, to build and complete, and is a very big magic commitment to your path and your destiny. What I created was a little three-stone mesa that's suitable for anyone, and we're going to be doing Laurie Anderson's version of the three-stone mesa come the freeze-up moon, a very practical way of using stones. And so what we've been doing is we've been weaving in practical, available, powerful shamanic practices. And so one of my first endeavors when I first started doing shamanic work 6 or 7 years ago by now, one of the things we were taught was how to build despacho, and a full despacho kit, like a full mesa, is a very complex thing with, 30, 40, 50 ingredients. When you pull out a full despacho kit, there's a lot of stuff in there. So one of my first goals was to create a simplified version of despacho that could be taught in a one-day workshop and understood and easily used. So we're going to be focusing on the mini despacho, and we're going to be focusing on what are you going to take with you and what are you going to leave behind at the Duck's Fly Moon. So that's the next piece that's coming up as we're flying south. So the idea is we're continuing the energy of the summer through the harvest. So we're coming to the end of the harvest, sort of. But and the ducks fly, we still have that harvest energy because we're still on the journey. If you imagine the ducks and even the hummingbirds who fly across the Gulf Coast back to the Yucatan Peninsula, it's a lot of work. They're expending a lot of energy. They're navigating and thinking carefully about where they are and where they're going. So Duck's Fly Moon is not yet a time to rest. It is still a time to sort and to navigate where it is that you want to come to land. So those are some of the themes we're talking about now. Those are some of the themes that are up as we speak going into this new moon, which is a week or so away as I'm doing this recording. Going into the new moon, we're having that energy of what are we going to harvest, and then as we harvest, what becomes the wheat and what becomes the chaff, because you only want to carry the wheat with you. You want to jettison just about everything else. You want to winnow down your activities and your gatherings into the things that are going to serve you in the long journey. One of the reasons ducks fly tends to be such a long journey is as the summer energy fades, there's often still quite a bit of work to do. But we're losing that energy. We're continuing to burn our reserves. So we want to use energetic support. So that's one of the themes, is coming up with the energetic support so that we can keep flying and we can figure out where it is we're trying to go. So what were the three themes? The three themes for Duck's Fly Moon are flying south, what can you take, what can you leave behind, and then the despacho. So despacho is about both harvesting the practical pieces. So it's about what are the grains that go into the despacho. So as we're going to be teaching despacho, we'll talk about the symbolism of red beans and rice and corn and bay leaves and coca leaves. So we'll be talking about the physical grains and items that go into the despacho. But a key aspect of despacho is it's not about the grains, in truth. It's about weaving them together in an energetic matrix that creates the offering. That's what makes them sacred. Just as when we work with the stones, when you use the stones in a nature painting or in a at the last gathering, we did a, what's called a Yana Chakwe, where I blew the energy of some of my sacred stones into the sacred stones of the folks who were there. So you do these processes with stones to create sacred stones. The process of building the despacho is taking everyday objects like garbanzo beans and creating a sacred offering out of them. So we're going to, I call that weaving energy. And so we're going to be learning how to weave energy, and we're going to be learning how to harvest natural objects and create sacred objects from them. From there, we move on to the Freeze Up Moon. Freeze Up Moon, the gathering is on November 8th, so both of these are Saturdays now. We've switched back to Saturdays for the fall. The process that we're going to do is Lori's Three Stone Mesa, which is a very practical set of tools that she created. And we're also going to be talking about coming to a stop before Thanksgiving arrives and consensual reality revs us back up again, and we never get to take a breath until after Christmas, many of us. We want to give ourselves permission, energetically, to slow and come to a stop, to take a pause, to take stock, to store our goods, to have closure with the things we've been doing. So typically what ends up happening is, since the holidays are all about family and those kinds of obligations one way or the other, one of the things to do is kind of wrap up your work life in November, and then allow yourself, buy yourself the time to be concerned about shopping and hopping and partying and doing all your family celebrating stuff that goes on from Thanksgiving through Christmas into the New Year. So while consensual reality is ramping up all this energy and all these different activities, we want energetically to have come to a stop and let go of everything that we're going to leave behind, know that we have carefully stored all the things we choose to keep, and that will we use as the seeds for the coming year. And so one of the benefits of this, giving yourself permission to stop, giving yourself permission to let go, giving yourself permission to have this personal sacred time before you dive into the holidays when you have almost no personal time. One of the results of that just might be that you could have fun for the holidays. A lot of the people I've been working with over the last year talk about the protections we use, the bands of power and other kinds of things that we've done, allow them to be in these challenging personal situations, and a lot of the emotion just kind of bounces off them or goes by. They have their family members continuing to throw darts and make suggestions, and it just doesn't matter as much as it used to. You still care, you still hear, you still interact. It just doesn't stick, it just doesn't hurt, it doesn't sting quite as badly as it used to. So that's one of the aspects. So one of the benefits of it is this chance to be calm. Internally, you're calm and collected, and you've done your work so that while everybody else is running around, you don't necessarily have to get all that involved. You give yourself permission to choose or not choose. And the Three Stone Mesa that Lori teaches has these three components. One, you use one stone, as she calls it, a Hoover, a little vacuum cleaner to suck up dark energy. And then another stone becomes a container of light, either candlelight or sunlight, this infinite energy that warms the earth, that provides life to everything on the planet, sunlight. And then the third stone is your essence, it taps into your mythic vision, your essence, so that even when you can't see it anymore or you lose sight of it because your family is battering you about or circumstances are battering you about, and this fall is going to be a tumultuous time, there's little doubt about that, in all kinds of ways. So while consensual reality is battering you about, it's very nice to have this grounded reminder of who you truly are. And so that's the essence of her three stone mesa, is those three tools. The three stone mesa we created in this last gathering was about the archetypes and the guidance that comes from connecting to the archetypes of the Peruvian system, the serpent energy in the lower energy center, the jaguar energy in your heart energy center, and the condor or eagle energy in the third eye. So this is a very different way of looking at a three-stone mesa. One of the cool things is stones are very versatile. They can do lots of different things. So it's not too surprising that sometimes you could have one stone represents your biggest personal negative issue, and then the next moment it's pure sunlight, and the next moment after that it's a jaguar from the jungle. Stones are very versatile things. Playing with myth is fun. Creating reality, allowing yourself to enjoy the process of exploring reality as a kind of fluid place. A fluid place of meaning is one of the joys of this work. And the fact that that kind of pretend playing with myth and imagery ends up being incredibly practical and powerful and helpful is one of the coolest surprises I had as I learned to do this work. And I enjoy sharing it. Then we move into the Long Snows Moon, and that's going to be a three-day weekend out at Duval, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that is solstice. So it's going to be winter solstice. We're going to do a full solstice fire, which means we build the fire at sunset and we tend the fire until dawn. So some of us will be up all night, and the kind of the rule is somebody has to be with the fire all night so we can take it in shifts. Typically, I stay up all night. Staying up all night is one of my skills. But typically what you need to do is you just take it in shifts. So we'll have a nice warm fire on the inside with hot chocolate and tea and such, and then outside we'll have the folks sitting with the sacred fire. We'll also be doing the obvious nature painting. Throughout all these things, we'll continue using Qigong and the Reiki symbols that we've brought to us as well. But so the solstice fire, and then we'll also be learning the full despacho kit. So by then, everyone will have done the book learning about what all the ingredients are and what they mean and how you use them. So this fall, we'll actually probably have a much stronger written component than we've had before. So I've been meaning and wanting to really get into the writing, and it looks like Lori's interested in doing some writing, and there are probably several people that we can get writing about despacho. And then just in the normal world, it's a list of 50 ingredients with little stories behind them, so it lends itself to some written workbooks and instructions and the like. So we will have been studying the despacho elements that go into a despacho kit. So most of you will have crafted some sort of despacho kit that you'll bring with you to Duval. And then instead of watching as I do despacho, we'll all do despacho. When I go to trips to Peru with Jose Luis, that's very commonly the way he runs his trips these days, is we go to a sacred mountain and they pass out despacho kits to everybody and we all do despacho. And then the next day you pack up and go somewhere else and they pass out another round of despacho kits and you do despacho again. So you're doing despacho over and over again when you're on a trip with Jose these days. And I like that. I think despacho is critically important. And it's one of those things that, again, is available to anyone who cares to do deep ceremony but doesn't necessarily choose to be a shaman. So despacho is a very powerful shamanic ceremony that anyone can learn to do. the more sacred you make it in your heart, the more sacred it will be in reality. And so it's a very powerful practice, and I'm really looking forward to teaching it. As most of you know, I've been doing despacho. I did it every week, every Thursday night for 3 or 4 years at the Stone House. And then now I do it twice a month for the last year or so. So I do despacho a lot, and I've been doing despacho. Like I said, it was one of the first things I learned. And one of the first things I learned to customize, one of the first sacred ceremonies where I learned this walking on water surfing element, that you have to learn how to do the ceremony exactly as it's taught until you learn how to walk on water, until you learn the difference between surfing and swimming. And despacho was one of the first shamanic tools where I really learned how to do that. Still took me years and years to do it really well, to really develop the skill. And there will be things I will learn years from now that I haven't even imagined yet. So you're never done with this sort of thing. But it was one of the first set of ceremonies that I learned to customize, that I learned to teach, that I learned to make my own. So I'm really looking forward to putting together a pretty formal set of training on it and teaching you guys how to weave energy. One of the phrases I started using, which was kind of normal, but it's becoming so obvious I have to use it, that making a despacho is absolutely the same as making stew or soup, especially stew. So there's not only the pun between despacho and gazpacho, but it gets better when you heat it, when you burn the fire, when you heat the stew. When you think about a stew, you put in all these dry ingredients, and you take living plants and you chop them up. You take all the leaves off and you put them into small little chunks and hunks and pieces, and you put them into the pot. And you cook it for a long time. A good stew is simmered for hours, crock-potted overnight. Very often, like a marinara, you want it to sit even for days before it's really good. But like a marinara sauce or a good stew, you end up with this really thick mixture of stuff that's truly woven together and hardly resembles the original ingredients at all. When you do a true despacho, that's what you've done. When you can see the energy of the despacho, and you're always given the opportunity to wave your hands through the despacho at the end, when you can see the energy in the despacho, you can see that by the time it's done, you've got this rich stew of woven energy from the ingredients. Part of that is from the traditional myth that I learned in Peru, and then I'll go find all my notes and teach you as accurately as I was taught and what all the different lore is about. Garbanzo beans represent the pacarenas, the places of emergence. Lima beans represent Cusco and Peru. Different aspects like that that come in. Why is corn sacred? What is the purpose of the yama fat, and how do we recreate that in our mesas, or do we? Lots of details like that. I'll go back and bring it all up, and we'll talk about it. And to really cover it, it'll be covered in these calls. It'll be covered in the gatherings. It'll be covered in notes that we post and articles that we do in the blog and the website. So it's going to be quite a lot of interesting interaction over all three moons. Another theme of the long snows moon, which, like I said, the first long snows moon, the first full moon is December 12th, and then there's kind of a leap full moon. It's interesting, my calendar doesn't have it as a leap full moon, but Lori's calendar does. So we'll see what happens. But there's maybe it's a leap long snows moon, not really a leap December moon. But at any rate, one way or the other, long snows moon moves through December. And there it's about building this nest, building your winter nest, so that when you get to Earth renewal moon and you're really out of energy, not only are you out of energy, the Earth is out of energy, everything is out of energy. you want to have done all your preparations before that time happens, before January hits. So Long Snow's Moon and Winter Solstice is about building a winter nest, acceptance. By the time you get to solstice, you're done. There's no more harvesting. There's no more, let's put in a little more energy to make this happen. You need to accept your accomplishments for the year. Like I said, in consensual reality, very often we have, you know, December 31st window dressing on our financial portfolios and the year-end reports and all that stuff. Sometimes a lot of people try and get a lot of work done in the last week of December, but if you've ever noticed, the reality is almost nothing ever gets done in December. We're busy, busy, busy as hell. But if you actually look at your stack of accomplishments in December, almost never, unless you're like a retail store and it's about shopping, but even then, the reason retail stores can do a lot of sell a lot of things and make a lot of activity, you know, we're doing this one project I'm working with, these 6 weeks of celebration with podcasts that go through November or go through January 1st. All of that stuff's going to have been recorded and planned long before December ever gets here. It's simply delivered. The parties happen in December. All the planning happened long before then. So the things that are successful in December are things that were planned back in September, October, November now. So now we want to close up the summer and plan for celebrations in December and rest in January. That's the artful calendar. And we'll be talking about how to make that happen in your life and how to use this practice. One of the other themes we'll be talking about in Long Snow's Moon is tranquility and chaos. The idea is, as we're going through all these family celebrations, there's usually a good deal of chaos going on about you. One of the things you gain with this, when you've got that Mesa as your guide and assistant, as your anchor, you've got the bands of power and the grounding cord and the guard rows and the gift rows. You have all these tools. You can be tranquil, even though there's chaos all about you. So that's going to be one of the key themes of Long Snow's Moon. And then the other key thing about solstice fires, probably we'll set up solstice fires so that it's open, so that hopefully there will be several of us for the three-day weekend in Duval, but then there'll be lots of folks for the Saturday night solstice fire. And so we'll probably have quite a party going on December 21st out in Duval. So it ought to be fun, and I'm hoping to round up and roust up a whole group of folks. So that is the coming fall. Ducks Fly Moon, Freeze Up Moon, Long Snow's Moon. The promise of Duck's Fly Moon is about choosing a direction, leaving behind what no longer serves you, taking what you need, knowing that you will have what you need even as you leave the summer behind and move and fly to the south. The promise of Freeze Up Moon is permission to stop, practical tools to prepare yourself for the difficult December and difficult January. Both months are difficult in their own way. December is way too high energy. January tends to be way too low energy. The earth energy is very low in January. The human energy is very high in December. Confusing and difficult times to navigate. We're creating tools to allow you to have a very practical approach to that process, as well as wrapping up and completing the harvest and giving yourself permission to come to a stop. And then finally, Long Snow's Moon is building a nest to catch you after the holidays, a nest so that when you finally come to a stop, whether it's the last week of December or the first week of January or however your schedule lays out for you this year, when you finally get a few days of quiet and peace, you will have prepared for that. you'll know what to do with it. You'll know that it won't just slip by and suddenly it's mid-January and you're back at work and you've had no rest at all. So those are the three moons and the three promises. And so now we're going to switch and do a journey for the three moons of fall. So let me put a little bookmark in the tape, and we will begin to move forward again.